Dear friends, welcome to another podcast, the podcast series by MSD Animal Health. I'm Rubén del Pozo, Technical Director for Swine in Europe for MSD Animal Health. Today we have the honor of talking to a vet professor from Ghent University in Belgium. He's not only one of the most recognized specialists in swine infections worldwide, but also one of the best professors I have had in my career, as I spent some years working with him in Belgium. He's not only one of the best specialists and best professor, but also a dear friend. And he's Professor Dominic Mas. Welcome, Dominic.
Thank you, Ruben, for these nice words.
For those who still don't know you, and I think this will be only a few of them, who is Dominic Mas and what is your role at Ghent University?
Currently, I am a professor of porcine health management at our veterinary faculty, and since 2003, I'm head of the unit. In that position, I'm responsible for teaching swine medicine to vet students, performing research, and also for providing services within and also outside the veterinary faculty, for instance, to industry, companies, big veterinarians, farmers, the government, like many other colleagues, I assume. I've also been the president of the European Board of Veterinary Specialization and the European College of Porcine Health Management.
Thank you for introducing yourself, Dominic. It's nice. This was Dominic as professor at the University of Ghent, but maybe you can share with us what are your hobbies or what do you do also in your free time?
It's indeed, I find it important to have hobbies a part of my professional career. So I like to do sports. I like running, make a tour with the bicycle, and also play tennis once or twice per week. Yeah, I also like to work in the garden and to be with the family, do a city trip, and all these things are also important for me.
Yeah. Interesting. Thank you, Dominic. I see some hobbies that are linked with your home country, with Belgium, like cycling, so it's nice. Thank you. I still have a question. How did you get into the veterinary science? Why did you choose to study veterinary medicine?
Yeah, interesting question. I grew up actually on a mixed farm, so I have always been interested in farm animals and agriculture in general. And during my curriculum at the vet school, my interest was mainly in ruminants and pigs. And I started my PhD in pig research, and this further activated my interest in the pig sector, and also my admiration actually for pigs, which are very interesting and intelligent animals.
So during your career, I understand that you were visiting also other universities, other faculties, a part of Ghent University.
Yes, I did my PhD at Ghent University, but at the same time, I also did a master in animal health and epidemiology at the University of Utrecht. And I have done a postdoc research stay at the University of Minnesota in the year 2000.
Okay, now that you speak about different universities, we have recently read that Ghent University has been considered the best school of veterinary medicine in the world by the Shanghai ranking. I think this is the fourth or the fifth time in a row?
I think it's already the fifth or the sixth time, I don't know. Okay. So indeed, our faculty has been listed as number one in the world Shanghai ranking of veterinary faculties. Of course, we are very proud of this and grateful, of course, to all the staff for this achievement. Research is an important component of this ranking system. You also have other ranking systems where the emphasis is more on education or other aspects that are different from research. There are actually many veterinary faculties in Europe and also elsewhere with a high rank. And many of them also have a strong research in porcine health management. And in this sense, it illustrates that excellent research in swine medicine is performed in our top veterinary faculties worldwide.
Yeah, congratulations for this achievement. It's very nice, and I am proud of Ghent University and all of you as I was former PhD student there. And now that you were speaking about other great schools, for example, here in Barcelona, I think if I'm correct, the Faculty of Barcelona was ranked the fifth one on that list. And by the way, sometimes we have also great professors like Kim Segales and Marina Sibila working on with, also with MHayo, not only with MHayo, but also other pathogens. So normally you do combined research with them, I suppose.
Indeed, we have for many years actually an excellent collaboration on research with the faculty of the veterinary faculty of the Autonomous University of Barcelona. They have excellent researchers, the two that you named, but also many others. We have published many papers together and also collaborated as editors of the book Mycoplasmas in Swine, which was published 3 years ago. And we also collaborated with Maria Peters from the University of Minnesota for that book. For some years, we have also a joint COIL course. COIL stands for Collaborative Online International Learning. And it's a course for last year students interested in pigs and in which they discuss cases that they have to solve and that they have to exchange their ideas and opinion with other students under the supervision of professors.
Perfect, yeah. For those, I think, that we love Mycoplasma, Hyopneumonia, it's nice to see that you have so many collaborations between different universities. As you mentioned, Maria Peters, also the Autonomous University of Barcelona. It's nice to see this foster collaboration between all of you and to read the very nice articles that you have published every year. So now let's move or let's dive a little bit into our topic today, the current situation of Mycoplasma hyopneumonia in Europe. So in your opinion, what are the main challenges for the health perspectives for EU pig producers, not only focus on MHayo? Maybe we can start a little bit overall and then we focus on MHayo.
Yeah, as we all know, there are many challenges for pig production in Europe and also at the international level. First, we have the continuous threat of African swine fever for our commercial pig farms and possibly also other emerging pathogens. There is also the legislation in relation to medicines and the prudent use of antimicrobials and the European legislation about animal welfare and housing systems. So all these factors may influence the way how we have to manage the health and the performance of our animals. We also have multiple endemic pathogens and production diseases in addition to the epidemic diseases. Maybe they are less in the news, but nevertheless, they have a huge impact on the performance of the animals and actually also the profitability of our farms.
And yeah, it's nice to that you mentioned, for example, African swine fever as one of those biggest pathogens. I remember that it was still living in Belgium back in 2017-18 when you have an outbreak of African swine fever there in the south of Belgium. And you managed to control that. So this was good news for them. And hopefully you keep free still for time there.
Yeah.
So mycoplasmas are the smallest known bacteria, and it was initially linked with enzootic pneumonia years ago when it was discovered in the 50s from previous century. And it was always said that it was the enzootic pneumonia was a mix between primary mycoplasma hyopneumonia together with other pathogens. But nowadays we hear more talking or speaking about porcine respiratory disease complex. Could you explain us a little bit what is the difference between enzootic pneumonia and porcine respiratory disease complex?
Yeah, actually, enzootic pneumonia is the result of an infection with MHayo in connection or in relation with or followed by infections with other respiratory bacterial pathogens such as Pasteurella multocida or Actinobacillus pleuropneumonia, Listeria, Bordetella, and other bacteria. PRDC, porcine respiratory disease complex, refers to a polymicrobial problem, which is the result of mixed infections, not only with bacteria, but also with viruses, such as swine influenza, porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome virus, porcine respiratory coronavirus, PCV2, and so on. And actually, in a strict sense, PRDC is also possible in the absence of bacterial infection. It's also possible that you have mixed infection with two viruses, and this is then also called porcine respiratory disease complex. But very often, mycoplasma is involved in respiratory disease and in the PRDC.
And I understand that within this PRDC or this combined respiratory disease, the environment, the climatic conditions, the environmental conditions in the farm also may play a role to maybe exacerbate that disease or?
For sure, yes. PRDC is mostly a polymicrobial problem, so many or different pathogens are involved. But on top of that, also the environment, improper housing conditions, suboptimal climate management that is not optimal, may all play a role in, let us say, making the disease more severe.
It seems, and you mentioned, just mentioned something during the previous question, you mentioned something that in Europe we are very focused on very specific pathogens, but there are others that they are still maybe by the public opinion or by the by the public opinion or in the perception of the vets, they are always on the top. But there are others that they are playing a secondary role, maybe because we don't see very often in the news or because they are already long time ago there. So mycoplasma, it looks like it's an old pathogen, and sometimes we forget about it, especially now that we are very focused with all those emerging pathogens. So my question here, should we forget about MHIO, or is something that we still need to keep in mind?
Indeed, it's an old pathogen, but you are right that actually most emphasis nowadays is placed on the viruses and new viruses or new strains of viruses that emerge. And in addition to that, bacteria are often considered to be only secondary invaders, which only cause damage or jeopardize the health of the animals in case of a previous viral infection. However, Mycoplasma hyae pneumoniae is a primary pathogen that can infect the animal and cause clinical disease and also lesions in the absence of any other previous infection. So, and infections with Mycoplasma hyae pneumoniae can also predispose the animals to infections with other pathogens, including viruses. So in this sense, Mycoplasma hyae pneumoniae is a very important bacterial pathogen and a primary pathogen that can cause disease on its own.
Okay, thank you very much for making this remark. I think you have in some way already answered my next question, if Mycoplasma was a primary or secondary pathogen. So it's nice to hear that.
Yeah, and actually I remember here the words of Carlos Pijuan saying that actually Mycoplasma hyae pneumoniae is the most important pathogen within the PRDC, and therefore he even suggested that it should be called mycoplasma disease. But as you all know, Carlos Pijuan was also a researcher heavily involved in mycoplasma hyae pneumoniae research. So I think it's also his enthusiasm that made him saying this, I think.
Yeah, I remember still, now it's funny, but I remember during my PhD defense at Ghent University years ago, Professor Guy-Pierre Martineau was asking me if Mycoplasma was a primary or a secondary pathogen. And I was totally confused because this was one of my first questions in the PhD defense, and I was totally lost about it. So it's nice, yeah. So thank you for sharing that with you. You have mentioned also that Mycoplasma was discovered 50 years ago. And in these years, there has been a lot of developments new vaccines, a lot of antibiotics that are working, different strategies, a lot of research on management, housing conditions, biosecurity. But I want to know from you what are the main knowledge gaps that we still need to cover in the next years to fully understand this bacterium.
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, we need to better understand the pathogenesis, how Mycoplasma hyperpneumoniae is interacting with the respiratory tract of the animal. We know that adherence is a key factor, plays a key role, first initial step, and that the reaction of the animal in response to that infection is important. But actually, we do not yet fully understand all the processes that follow that. Also, we need a better understanding of the role of the immune responses, including the innate immune response, and especially those responses that are important for protection. And this information will allow us to develop better vaccines that confer better protection, and if possible, also vaccines that can be applied easily. In addition, we should also encourage efforts to eliminate Mycoplasma hyperpneumoniae from pig herds or from pig production systems. And there are quite some good examples of that in specific countries or regions.
Okay, thank you. And you mentioned also before that one of the main problems with Mycoplasma and the pathogenesis of Mycoplasma is the way of entry of Mycoplasma at this colonization, these first steps in the infection, opens the door for other pathogens to cause respiratory disease or PRDC. Could you summarize in a few sentences what is this main problem in the pathogenesis? What is the main entrance of Mycoplasma and how Mycoplasma opens the door for those other pathogens?
Yeah, actually, Mycoplasma hyperpneumoniae is a simple organism, but it possesses many mechanisms to damage the respiratory tract and the animal. First, it adheres to the ciliated epithelial cells of the trachea, the bronchi, and the larger bronchioles. And after adherence, there may be damage to the cells, or even the cells may die, or at least the pathogen interferes with the function of the cilia, so the innate immune response. In addition, in the next step, immune responses are generated, quite massive infiltration of white blood cells occur, but these responses obviously are not able to rapidly clear the pathogen from the respiratory tract. So you see that there is a continuous, more or less, reaction of the animal, but nevertheless the pathogen is still there and is not cleared. So it ends up in chronic infections, in damage to the ciliated epithelial cells, and Mycoplasma hyperpneumoniae may also interfere with the function of macrophages and other white blood cells of the immune response. Normally, Mycoplasma hyperpneumoniae remains local in the respiratory tract, but there is evidence, at least under experimental conditions, that Mycoplasma hyperpneumoniae may also spread to other organs, such as the kidneys, the liver, the spleen, and can be isolated from these organs, but without causing lesions in these organs. So, all in all, quite some mechanisms by which Mycoplasma hyperpneumoniae interferes with the normal function of the respiratory tract and consequently predisposes the animal to infections with other pathogens, to the larger use of antimicrobials because of the chronic infections, and also it needs extra efforts for proper control and prevention on the farm.
Okay, so a little bit linked with all these gaps in the knowledge that we are still need to understand if we want to fully control the disease, here opens the question for these controls. I have heard a time ago and I have been involved in some way with these controls. So could you explain us what is these controls and what is your role when we speak about MHIO?
Yes, DISCOM tools stand actually for Disease Control Tools, a European initiative or platform aiming to identify gaps in knowledge of animal diseases. So not only pig diseases, but animal diseases in general, in order to reduce the burden of animal diseases and to lower the losses diseases may cause to the animal production and also to the society. It provides information for 53 infectious diseases of animals and aims to keep the information updated. So there is a 5-year cycle in which all the knowledge gaps are updated. DISCOM Tools is also a key resource for importing funding bodies of animal health research. And my role is to coordinate this work for the important mycoplasmas in swine, Mycoplasma hypermonia, Hyorhinus, Hyosynovium, and Mycoplasma suis. You can find all this information on their website.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. What is the future of Mycoplasma hypermonia, or what will be your dream new advance in research that you would like to see within 10 years when we speak about Mycoplasma hypermonia?
The amount of research and also the number of scientific papers on Mycoplasma hypermonia has significantly increased during the past 5 to 7, 8 years. Research has been done actually on all aspects of the pathogen, ranging from pathogen characterization, epidemiology, pathogenesis, diagnostics, treatment, control, and prevention. And as mentioned, research in the pathogenesis, at least in my opinion, and also the immune responses, is needed to develop better vaccines and control measures. Improved diagnostics with the possibility to sequence and/or to test different pathogens at the same time and in a short period of time are, to my opinion, important in farms with clinical problems. And that will be an area which, to my opinion, it will evolve largely in the next 10 years, because most outbreaks involve different pathogens, as we discussed. So it's important to assess which pathogens are involved and also to assess which pathogens are most important in the problems. In production systems, aiming for elimination, because I think also efforts will be made in that area. Proper monitoring with the use of sensitive tests and also sufficient sampling is essential. Also, automatic monitoring of health and welfare parameters will increase as a supportive tool for the farmer to optimize the management in the farm. And from a practical and more general viewpoint, biosecurity remains key, and therefore, research in this area is also important and will likely stay important in the next 10 years or even become more important, not only for Mycoplasma hypermonia, but for infectious diseases in pig farms in general.
So I understand from here that technology will play a significant role when we speak about the monitoring of the production parameters, monitoring of biosecurity, but also in diagnostics and broader new technologies for diagnostics.
Yes, I'm convinced of that. Actually, it plays already an important role as this at this stage, but it will become even more important. I don't really believe in full automated monitoring, but I believe strongly in monitoring, automatic monitoring as a supportive tool to optimize the management of the farmer and help also veterinarians in decision making of health management on the farm.
Okay, thank you. Dominic, could you share some take-home message regarding our beloved Mycoplasma hypermonia before we conclude this podcast?
Well, as I mentioned already, it's 50 years that the pathogen has been discovered, and has been considered as the causative agent of enzootic pneumonia. It took us approximately 30 years before the first commercial vaccines became available in the beginning of the 90s. And this allowed us to significantly decrease the health and the production losses. And I hope, and I'm also convinced, that the vaccines and also the control measures in general will further improve, and that more production systems or areas in the world will be successful in eliminating this pathogen from the farms. Not in all areas, and it will be for sure a challenge in areas where you have a higher pig or pig herd density. But whether it concerns improved control or elimination, if we can further reduce the infection levels in pig farms, it will be beneficial for the health, the welfare, and also the performance of the animals, and also for the reduction of antimicrobial use. So all in all, it will be beneficial for the pig sector and also for the image of the pig sector towards the society.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. I share many of those ideas for the future also with you. Hopefully, maybe within 10 years, we can repeat this pig cast and see how far we are, or maybe five. No? We don't need to wait another 10. So, dear Dominic, time runs too fast when learning from the best ones like you. I enjoy a lot this talk with you. Thank you for sharing your kindness and all your knowledge with all of us and with all our audience today. And dear listeners, this has been another episode for the PIGcast series by MSD Animal Health. Thank you for your time and your interest, and we hope to meet you again in another PIGcast. Take care and bye for now.